I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Yo, son!
One app is life.
It's not the one you should be underestimating.
Get it out!
Godzilla, King Kong, Loch Ness.
We rap nerd now here, right?
Like, I can tell you were a nerd.
It's primal.
And that's raw, Carhartt girl.
Speaking of sneaky big tits,
are you out there fucking?
I'm doing that.
Years ago, I bought a millionaire Griffin. This was years ago, bro. Years ago.
Cypher Sounds. Peter Rosenberg. One app is life.
Hey, good morning.
Good afternoon.
Good evening.
And good night.
And happy Martin Luther King Day. Even though you're here the day after Martin Luther King Day.
Or whenever. Whenever the algorithm tells you to listen.
That's a great point by you.
Shout out to the people in 2027 who just discovered us. I'm long dead by now. But congratulations, you discovered one app. We're the fucking Frida. What's that bitch's name? Frida Calhoun.
Frida Kahlo.
We're the Frida Kahlo of podcasts.
Yeah,
hey, famous when we're dead.
That is fucking hilarious.
Famous when we're dead.
I have been noticing I've been noticing two positive things. A slight uptick in mentions on social media, a slight uptick of people being like, "Yo, And our Patreon has definitely taken a nice uptick over the last couple of months.
Shout to the patrons.
So we love you over there. Patreon.com/oneepislife. You get one bonus full episode every week. Plus now, if you were to get it now, you go back, you get like 200 episodes. Not to mention funny shit that happens that we say on Patreon that when I try to bring up on the podcast, Billy June goes, I only wanted that on a Patreon. I'm behind a paywall.
I hate the term paywall, but you know what? You know what I'm doing though?
What? Embracing the paywall?
Nah, man. I'm standing on business.
Oh, that's a new, wait. You only got to that phrase like the last week? Oh,
man, I'm standing on business.
Wait, no, Saif, you're not saying it right.
Oh, I'm not. How you say it?
Standing on business.
I'm standing on business. Yeah, well, I'm standing on it.
What? Wait, why did that one hit you this week? Because
It's just fully in the zeitgeist now.
Stand up. I think the thing that put it over the top was this video a few weeks ago of T.I. fighting with his little annoying teenage son. And The teenage son's like, yo, I'm standing on business. I'm standing on business. That was the line.
I know what it means, but like to the people, like to the older generation watching that might not. What does it mean? Standing on business.
I guess it just means I'm about my business. I don't fuck around.
Oh, standing on business.
Right?
Yeah. I just want to know where I used to know how slang was created and where it came from. I don't anymore.
Yeah, it's hard. You don't care. You just can't keep track.
I can't even keep track. I can't even deduce it.
No.
I can't even deduce it.
There's no deducing to
it.
It
used to come from something. Like, it was a phrase that was known, and then we would take it and kind of flip it and bounce it.
flip it, and bounce it. Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. But now it's just like, here's just a brand new phrase from nothing, and it means something. So go ahead.
You know what it is?
No. Play it again.
Could you hear it at all?
I just heard.
Okay. Then keep listening beyond the. That's part of it, but keep listening.
Okay. Is that Billy June like trapped in like a little box and like scraping his way out?
No, it's the beginning of the song Nighttime Vultures by Mobb Deep.
Listen.
It took me too long.
Sometimes we wonder why we're not as successful as we should be.
Yeah.
And that's our sound effect choice, okay? And we stand by our business. What is it?
We're standing by our business.
Yeah,
that's right. No, Saif, we needed. I was
fucking this light, man.
You look good. What? That was good. Right. I put on Hell on Earth the other day, and at the beginning of that song, I'd forgotten that they had just a vulture sound.
Is that vulture? I think we could find a better vulture sound.
Oh, and if Mobb Deep said it's a vulture, it's a vulture. Last week on the show, we spent a lot of time talking about Call You Gay on Hot 97.
Yeah.
Right. and then
came up to me in Ohio. She's like, I'll call you gay on Hot 97. I was like, there's people around here. You gotta be
just say that. Without context, you just sound like a homophobe. And don't worry, Billy just finished editing the clip, so we're gonna have a clip up from it for by the time the next episode drops. We are literally the worst social media operation in the entire podcast business that people stand on.
Yeah, they stand on that podcast business.
The whole business that they stand on is that you just constantly put out really high quality clips. That's it. That is the whole business that they stand on.
Your podcast could be super popular from the clips alone, and people might not even listen to an episode. There's plenty of podcasts that I watch the clips and I love. I've never listened to a full episode.
Right. But you're like, oh, I feel like I watched the show. I feel like I'm a part of it.
You follow it, you show them love. It works. Billy just told us I edited 5 clips last night. Well, none of them yours.
One.
Only one was finished from last week.
Why would you even say that to your, what is theoretically your bosses?
Yeah, it was a weird, considering.
Why would you say that?
Yeah, that was not, Billy, considering we've gotten a total of like 3 videos edited between our whole show in like a month. And you're like, I did 5 different. Now, granted, here's the thing about Billy too that he doesn't understand. He might say, Saif hates the videos. Here's what I would do if I was Billy June, who never posts anything on the Instagram account. Basically, if you see anything on our Instagram, I posted it. He basically doesn't post anything. Mm-hmm. I would just be editing shit and posting it. And when Saif sees one and goes, that sucks, take it down. He gets caught up in this whole, like, let me do a back and forth with them. Put up 3 clips a week on our Instagram. Just keep the clips. And if they're bad, we'll say, take them down.
It might be bad, but it might get views, and I'll be like, okay, fuck it. People like it.
Exactly. And we trust you at this point enough that you're not going to put up something, I would hope, that would be so, like, we'd be like, oh, why would you post that? That's problematic. Don't post that. But, like, short of that, man, just go. Although, now today you tell them I did 5 clips yesterday, but only one was for your show. Come on, man.
Why
even
say that?
Who wants to say that? Yo, listen.
In the city.
Saif, there's a lot of things we have to talk about. We have to watch. We are the perfect source to break down Drake getting talked shit about, I should say. Most Def, your friend, Yasiin Bey.
He wasn't talking shit.
Well, this is why we have to break it down, isn't it? This is what we're going to have to break that down to a fine powder.
He was just standing on business.
Perhaps. Now, listen, I stood on some business on the podcast last week, and I said some things about one's friend of the show, Michael Rapaport. And one way or another, he heard.
Oh, no, he heard.
He heard about what I said. Well, did he actually hear it? I don't know. But here's what happened. I'll just tell the audience what happened. So we put out the episode last week. I actually even put up a clip from that, but then I deleted it because I felt bad calling attention to it. So I was like, yeah, fucking no. Mm-hmm. We don't, that's not the kind of business we stand on. Let's just
let stand on that kind of business.
And then someday last week, I missed a FaceTime from him. Actually, no, I saw it, but it was like 30 minutes before my radio show. And I have to tell you, if I don't talk
minutes, to you, that's enough time then.
You could plenty, but I just didn't want to. I just didn't. Okay. I'm just saying,
don't blame it on the job, bro. 10 minutes before the show, I get it. 30 minutes.
Full 30 minutes
to feed up, reading a comic book.
Yeah, you know me. So I definitely could have. You're right. I just didn't want to. I am not the kind of person, I'm not big on blind phone calls or FaceTimes from people. Now, particularly if I know it's going to be picking up the phone to have someone cursing and screaming at me. Yeah, I wasn't in the mood in that moment. So I said, you know, I'll get to this later. So he didn't leave a message or anything. He didn't text or anything. And I forgot. And we get to like the next day.
Stand on business?
The next day, he sent a text message. I'll give you two options, knowing Michael Rappaport, for you to predict what the tone of the message was.
There was a text message.
Yes.
Yeah.
Option one.
Yeah.
I heard what you had to say. I listened to the entire clip and didn't really appreciate how you spoke about me. But obviously we have some differences on this issue. Maybe we should chat. That's option one.
Because look, Rosenberg, I appreciate what you do. And I know you stand on business.
Exactly. That's option one.
Yeah.
Option two.
I'll call you gay on Hot 97.
By the way, option two, some combination of you matzo ball pussy piece of shit, don't ever say my name, you're a self-hating fuck, some combination of that is option two.
I say one. I say, from what I know of Michael Rappaport, I'm going to option one.
You know what? I'm really surprised you went that way. No, it was option two.
Are you serious?
Yes. It was. He did not.
Oh, man.
He did not go the second route. Now, he did throw in an interesting note, you know, and he, obviously I could tell he was surprised, given that we have a relationship, that I spoke about him the way that I do.
Is big Chappelle water bottle?
As Seif pulls up his Dave Chappelle Stanley or Hydro Flask. He was not pleased. And he demanded an apology on the podcast. He wanted an apology. And I'd like to say, in all seriousness, even though I'm setting this up in funny terms, in all seriousness, I should not have like laughingly called him an idiot and dumb. That's not a useful way to try to have a conversation. And given that I know him, even though his opinions of the last few months make me vomit in my mouth and become enraged, I did not need to go and call him gay on Hot 97, which is essentially what we did last week on the podcast. I did lots of laughing, called him dumb. That's not nice. It's not helpful. I'm sorry that I did that. Did he double and triple whatever I said about him in one text message to me? Sure. But whatever. There's no need for me to do that. I'm trying to become better at conveying things I disagree about without having to like be like, you're so fucking dumb. So wish I did better with that. A little disappointed that when he sent me his text, I responded very calmly and was like, I sent him a text back. I said like, basically, hey dude, yeah, sorry for that. Definitely didn't need to say it that way. I find your opinions to have so much ignorance in them that I didn't really know what to say, blah, blah. We obviously see this very differently. If you want to talk, let me know. I guess I'm a little disappointed that he had no interest in talking except for to have me apologize to him.
Right.
Because I'm kind of like, I'm not triggered. I don't care about you and I having a personal issue. I'm triggered by the actual issue. I'm not angered because of who you are as a human being. I'm angered because this issue is so important. And I find that the way that you talk about it to be so loose and misinformed at a critical time. Like no one put a gun to your head and said, hey, speak endlessly passionately every single day about this super nuanced, important issue that you're not that informed on. You should make that your whole brand every day. I didn't make you do that, dude. It literally chases me in my algorithm. I muted him. By the way, he unfollowed me on Instagram, which is unfortunate. You hate to see that.
Oh, no. The ultimate.
Yeah, the ultimate.
That's
when you know things are serious. Like, it's one thing we're talking about a war where 25,000 Palestinians have died. And I think we're up to like over 2,000 Israelis have died. I don't know the exact number there. But now an unfollow has happened. So things have really... Yeah, this thing is 100 days in. This has gotten ratcheted up. But listen, I'm not going to drag. I don't want to drag you into a conversation about the war that you're probably not interested in having. But listen, I'd still be open to having a conversation as to why his opinion bothers me so much. Obviously, you know, it seems that he thinks the reason that I have a problem with it is because I'm a self-hater, which is, again, a nuanced, thoughtful opinion, you know. If you're against the war, you clearly hate Jews and are embarrassed. Not only hate Jews, are embarrassed.
I have a lot to say about this. First of all, you know what? Forget it. I can't do it.
Yeah, and I don't think this is, I'm not saying this can't be the platform for it. Like, I could do an episode with someone where we could do it. But like, he's not here to have the conversation. I'm guessing 90% of the people listening now know what his approach is because you've probably seen it. He's very loud about it. I will just say this. I have gone through times in our history where war is happening and people are being killed. And I have always fallen on the side of that's not going to be the answer here. So far. Now, listen, I haven't been alive forever. Only been alive for 44 years. So far, Seif, as time has gone on, my argument about war not being good has never aged badly. The arguments only age well. Every time. I mean, every time. It's the one thing my family gives me credit for to this day, that they all remember that after the Gulf War, they all actually got sucked into, like, you know what? We should just... it's time to just stand behind Bush, line up as a country and go to war. And I was fresh out of my peace studies class. So I was the most, you know, out there pacifist I'd ever been. And I was like, fuck no, we shouldn't do that. Blah, 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 blah. You're not going to guess, as time went on, even though I was just a dumb fuck 22-year-old at the time, turned out I was right.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And the people against the war were right. And guess what? They're going to be right again. This is not going to end good. We're not going to one day feel all better. Oh, now enough dead bodies have come. It sucks. And then in every post, Seif, I don't post very much about this. You follow me. I don't really put up posts about the war or anything. The random times when I post a clip from the morning show where, like, we're trying to have a nuanced conversation, the amount that I hate the people who comment on both sides of it is, I guess if you're fully on one side, I just kind of hate your opinion. Like, if your opinion's not just sort of a nuanced mix of war is bad, people shouldn't be getting killed. But like, I either get, like in this post I put up the other day, it's either people saying, like in the comments, they're laughing at Jews for being upset about October 7th. Oh, cry me a river, you victim. I'm like, well, no, those were real victims.
Yeah, there were real victims. Yep.
Real victims who were like literally just, and by the way, like a lot of them really good people who actually sympathize with the Palestinian cause, and they were killed and murdered and raped. All these things happened. And if you bring that up, you're like, oh, cry victim. And then on the other side, you know, the pro-war types who literally instantly go to calling me a self-hater and say, It's just, how do people live like such caricatures of human beings?
I mean, this is not what I wanted to talk about today, but it gets deeper than deep, because when you make fun of me, not you, when people make fun of me for, like, for example, not celebrating holidays, and it's along the lines of this, like, I don't participate in the straight up organized brainwashing for whatever reason. Now, oh, you don't celebrate Christmas. You're fucking stupid. What about your kids? Oh, you don't support Israel in this war, or you're not fighting for Palestine. It's all the same thing. Like, I don't have the power or the information to fight against any of it. You know what I mean? So what can I do? Like, I'm fully aware that war and casualties and disaster or fucking catastrophes somehow, somewhere lead to somebody getting a shit ton of money. Somewhere. I don't know where. I'm smart enough to go, hey, I'm not going to try to figure it out because those people usually end up dead. But somebody somewhere is getting a lot of money to do something to make more money.
And we, the people, all line up on our sides and wave our flags as part of this bullshit while someone else ends up doing really well watching people die.
Very well. Very well.
You know what? That was such, because I never think about, because at this point, sometimes your anti-religion stuff, I've heard it for so long. It's such like a safe thing. It almost starts to feel like a bit, like it's a shtick. But you're absolutely right. It is the essence of just general brainwash. Like, let's just all do, you know?
Now, listen, and I don't knock. Fine. I don't knock.
You could go that way with it, Sife. You could have been like, you know what? I think it's complete bullshit. I don't care. I buy presents. I have fun. I don't read anything into it. Or you could do what you do, which is like, I just don't subscribe to it. Don't have an interest in it.
I mean, I'm very sad, like you are, about anybody getting killed. But what can I, personally, what can I do? Because this is too much. But like every protest, every rally, every petition, like, where does it fucking go, man? Where does it go?
Well, and to the point, and we were just saying, it's like, it's also, yeah, everyone's doing it on each side and everyone plays their team and waves their flag and we are right. You're right. We used to use it. And everyone thinks they're such heroes for it. And yeah, where are you getting with it? When does it, did the Vietnam protest, think about how intense the Vietnam protests were in this country.
Oh, you think you look back at Vietnam and then they spit on soldiers when they come back. They spit on kids who were drafted, kids who were forced to go get fucked up over there and come back. And they're like, you fucking war criminal, spit on them. And like, I was 18. I was in selective service. I got drafted. I didn't want to fucking go over there. What was I supposed to do? Go to jail? Go to jail. Or fight for your chance to, I'm sure a lot of good things come from being in the military. I'm sure there's a camaraderie that I'll never know, probably more than a sports team. I'm sure you end up with some lifelong friends, but then you come home and you're treated like a fucking dog. You've seen First Blood.
Rambo First Blood?
You've seen Rambo First Blood.
It's
he was just a Vietnam so vet just trucking across the town.
And like the Israel one is this example of, dude, these people on both sides, Hamas is so bad and they care so little about the debt. The casualties of Palestinians mean nothing to them. It's a nothing. They're just trying to have, they have a cause and an agenda, and their cause is, you know, to some extent, the cause of the Palestinian people. But they care about the cause much more than the actual people. They're not going to give
the cause without the people.
That, bro. And then on the other side, this whole thing, everyone, these people keep putting up these posts that just say, bring the hostages home. Who are those words to? Are they to evil Hamas who took them? Because they're not bringing them home. Or are they to the Israeli government who clearly doesn't seem that focused on bringing them home, because they could negotiate to get them home today. Today, they have enough fucking prisoners from Palestine that they could trade today and get home all of them. They want to be at war right now. So when you put up your random thing that says bring the hostages home, oh my God, I think about the hostages every single day. These people are, it's insane. They were at a fucking music festival, some of them, partying one night, and now it's been 100 days of them in an underground fucking cave. Of course, I think about it every day. But when you just generically say, bring them home, or you walk around with your camera going, ha, 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 screaming into your camera like you're a fucking hero. When, by the way, if you're Jewish, you know what you can do? You could get on the first thing fucking smoking to Ben Yehuda Airport and go enlist. If you're standing on business, you can go enlist. But oh my God.
Look, if you want to start getting conspiracy theory, Israeli intelligence is by far the greatest in the world.
Keep going.
They can't go Navy SEAL and get those hostages?
Wait. Oh, that's where you went. That's interesting. That's not where I was even going to go. I thought on the exact same note, y'all let these people fly in on fucking parachutes.
That's how they did it.
Yeah,
they parachuted to the music festival.
Parachutes, fucking, they came by land, by air, by sea, but no, none of it was high tech.
There's
been a story, not a fake like weird conspiracy story. There's a story that's out. That's regular. I read it in Haaretz, the Israeli newspaper. It's out. There were these women, this faction of the IDF, the Israeli Defense Force. The group was almost all entirely women, and their job was watching the south border, right? They started telling people days beforehand, we are seeing weird shit.
Fuck.
Saif, they ignored them. And guess what? Almost all of those women were killed by the same people they were telling them they were seeing. They came in and fucking killed them.
Nah, bro. Like what are we doing?
So what are we doing?
Pearl Harbor was the same way. Fucking, there's always the assassination of Archduke Ferdinand.
That was like, work too.
It's all tragedy to lead to fucking some kind of somebody grabbing up something. There's all the wartime strategic moves, but then there's also like disaster, like the earthquake in Haiti. Like, earthquake, hey, disaster brings fucking money. Mother Nature demoed this whole spot where we could kind of grab it and make it better.
We can give money to this one.
We got to do this behind a paywall.
Yeah. Listen, I'm trying to stand on business. I'm just super sad by this whole thing.
I don't know why I'm talking to you about this, man. You are a fucking culture vulture.
Okay? You know what, Saif?
Why am I talking to you about this? Who took a microphone to the pigeon coop on the roof to get them scratchy noises?
I know. That's a great point. I think it was Ty Nitty. Saif hit me up this week to tell me that he was, I don't know if he used the word, but he essentially said he was proud of me.
Yeah.
With my response to the culture vulture.
Love it.
Yo, I don't know why. Who was it? It was, they said the Mount Rushmore of culture vultures. Yeah. And it was me.
Uh-huh.
Ebro.
Yeah.
Vlad and Michael Rapaport.
Yes, I agree. Wholeheartedly.
No, me and Vlad are the only ones that should be on that list.
No, Ebro's the culture vulture.
But I thought the line is if you're partially black, you can still be culture vulture.
He's the culture vulture.
Exactly. Does Rappaport even really make money in hip hop? I forgot. No one even knows what the definition of this is. This was just a list of Jews who they wanted to say fuck you to.
Vlad all the way Jewish?
Yeah. Vlad is definitely Vlad's perfect. Vlad hits them with white, Jewish, and literally profits off of fucking filth. So, like, he's a really good choice in terms of what they were looking for there. Now, I'm a good one, obviously, because I'm a Jew. They had to come for me there. I don't know. And I do make money in the culture. So there's something.
I liked your video response, but you still had to like justified to fend yourself a little bit.
I did. I threw in one line, one or two
all
lines.
All these underground artists I support, like, you're right.
You know what? You're right.
Now, but I know you're getting into it. It's fine.
I'm getting there though.
What's the point of getting mad about that shit?
I know.
I'm the opposite. I get nothing. I get called nothing. I get called for nothing. I am nothing.
I'm going to be 54 years old this year.
And you're no spring chicken. You're no baby. Oh,
I got a good shout out recently. Man, oh, Busta Rhymes. Busta Rhymes gave me a good shout out.
Really?
He was in London doing an interview at some sneaker store.
I saw a clip, and
he gave me a shout out for
Fake fucking,
the first time I think he heard gigs was through me.
There you go.
That was a good shout out. I like that.
That's
one.
Solid. Well, what about last week? You got called by Dave to go do some shows out in Ohio.
Yes.
I'm
no spring chicken.
Yo, did you watch? Were you able to watch?
What?
Were you able to watch the Book of Clarence?
Yeah. Bro, that guy. I mean, you know that guy? James Simmons?
Yeah,
James.
Yes.
How do you know him?
Ebro. But
like, you, what do you mean? Like, you know him or like, did you know what he did before?
No, I only got to know him. I've only started to be friendly with him in the last few years. I missed the whole run that led to now.
But did he do like Jay Electronica or something he was saying?
I don't even know.
Did some Jay Electronica records.
I don't even know from what would you when what era of him are you talking about? Because basically, the last 5 years he's been a big director, and he makes all the music on the soundtracks.
Yeah, I know nothing of this guy. I just know this now.
Oh, and he's a big fan.
I saw him a little bit when he was doing the Harder They Fall, the Black Cowboy movie that Jay-Z put out. I saw him, but now I'm seeing him a lot. Great dude, though. Super cool dude. The reason why I like him so much is because
he likes you.
Yeah, I walked up to him to say great movie. So Dave Chappelle had a screening. Did we talk about what I did with Dave yet? No, right?
No.
Oh, so Dave is opening a comedy club in his hometown, Yellow Springs. And me and him were talking, and he was like, I got to get this. I got to get that. I said, Dave, you're not going to ever finish until you start doing some shows and figure out what you need while you're doing the show. It's a different mindset. So he started doing some pop-ups, and he called me. He called me when he first did it. I couldn't do the first three. I did the last two. And he calls me to come just do stand up and just give my opinion on the room, how I feel about it, what I think it needs. And it's a fucking amazing spot. Then the third day, he's going to do a screening for that movie, Book of Clarence. And the guy, James Samuel, comes through. And so whatever, we watched the movie, incredible, like sound system, incredible screen. Like it was beautiful. Great movie, like fucking touching, sad, whatever. So I go to say what's up to the guy. And he goes, like, right away, yo, Cypher Sounds, legend, bruv, legend. And I'm like, oh, fuck. He's like, man, I saw you earlier. Walk past. I couldn't believe you were here. I was like, me? Fucking, okay.
By the way, I realize you literally are Dipperson. Dipperson and I we have a joke on our podcast, which is he'll be critical of a wrestler. All he has to do is meet that wrestler and have the wrestler be nice to him, and he completely changes his opinion.
I didn't say nothing bad about this guy beforehand.
No. And then I'm just saying, all it takes though is once someone gives you love, that's it. What?
No, it was dope. I mean, that's like.
No, I think he was listening to our shit. I think the way he knows me is from me and you. I always got the sense it was that's what he knows us from.
But then he goes, yo, you're like Pee Wee Kirkland, legend in two games. And I was like, I like this guy, man. This is a good guy. What do you got a movie out? You got a movie coming out?
Listen, I sent him a message the other day about that. I didn't get to see the movie yet, blah, blah, blah. I don't think you'd mind me playing this message. He doesn't say anything personal, but this just sums up what I'm sure he sounded exactly like to Scythe. And he's a big voice note guy, Scythe. If you ever send him a DM on IG, he's responding with a voice note.
Yeah.
And it's perfect for this. And it's perfect for this podcast because he basically sounds like the coolest version ever of
I'm going to be 54 years old this year.
All right, here you go. Here it is.
Nah, my brother, PR, you need to see that on a big screen, especially you. Like, you're a person that communicates to every religion, to every race of people, in every genre of music. Like, you're a person, like, you and your background, you need to see that on a big screen. It's not a small screen experience. First movie of its kind in 136 years of the moving image. You need to see that on a big screen, man. I wish I could be there with you. But soon we'll do a screening.
That's James Samuel. He's such a fucking dude. 136
years of the moving image.
That of the moving image, bro. Was it good?
Fire. Was it great.
Was it really?
You know what? I should also go see it on a big screen.
Oh, it was like a minute. It was like an in-between size screen?
Well, I was in the room was packed. I couldn't even stay in the room. So there's like another room the room is projected on. And it was on this projector. But I probably should go support it and go see it in a real thing.
Yeah, I'm going to see it this week. And we should get him on. He'll definitely jump on with us, no problem.
Yeah, for sure. And yeah, super cool though. So then anyway, real quick, we go to the little after party. I play a couple London records, like fucking show off and shit. And High Tech was there. High Tech was hanging out with us. And he was like, bro, just one favor. I never asked for requests, bro. One favor. Can you play The Blast? So I played a blast, bro. He's rapping every word, like every word.
Like, this is James?
Yeah, James. He's rapping every word of High Tech's verse to High Tech. So you could tell he was having a moment.
Right, right.
You know what I mean? But it was really, really fucking cool, man.
Dude, but I mean, yo, he really makes me want to push myself harder because I never knew who that dude was. I mean, he's Seal's brother.
That's what I heard.
Yeah, he's Seal's brother.
Brother, right?
Yeah. Like, I think much younger. But he was always, like, hustling to do different things, whatever. Now he's made it to the point where he writes and directs films and then does the entire soundtrack.
Score.
Score and soundtrack.
Not just the soundtrack.
Sorry, the score and...
Score, bro.
Score and soundtrack. By the way, speaking of score and soundtrack, congratulations to our One Ep for Life brother, Mark Ronson, who won for original song at the Critics' Choice Awards yesterday from Barbie.
And really?
Yeah. So if you didn't see what Mark's post was at the Golden Globes, you will fucking love it. You didn't see it?
No. What was it?
So he didn't win. So the day after his post at the Golden Globes, he posted a picture of him and his wife on the red carpet. Then some other picture, and then the last picture in the carousel was his torn up speech in the garbage can.
Hilarious. Hilarious. You know, he's gonna be 54 years this year, bro.
I'm gonna be 54 years old this year.
So shout out to Ronson though. So he won the Critics' Choice, so maybe he'll win. I think he's up for an Oscar too. I just watched Barbie. That was a pretty fucking good movie.
His speech was torn up in the trash.
Yep. He's won a lot, bro. I was looking up though. The way Ronson's won a lot of shit, bro. Between Grammys, Oscars, like Mark has won a lot of shit, bro. You know, doing that Amy Winehouse album, really, it worked out well for him. What?
I won something. My son got a participation trophy from basketball, and I put it up in my shelf because that's mine.
Yo, that's a great point.
That's my point. I chest passed that motherfucker, yo.
That's right. So you did win something. Your son got a participation trophy.
Yeah, he wouldn't have got that if it wasn't for me.
Facts. That's a big facts. All right, so we should, before we're going to do a Patreon episode, so you should subscribe.
I'm doing Patreon, man. I'm done.
But for free, we got to talk about this Drake shit. Billy, did you send us did you put something in the chat here? Did you send the link?
Everybody saw it.
All right, so Syph, are you really gonna go with not a diss? Cause I sure felt that was a diss. And my guess is knowing what I know of Drizzy Drake, he will feel like that was a diss.
Oh, Drake for sure will feel that it's a diss. Yes. So would you.
Mike Rappaport would certainly not be pleased with it.
Am I saying it's not a diss? I don't know how to... I guess it could have been worded better. could have been worded better. I understand. I'm already very biased, though, because I know Yasiin Bey very well, and he speaks like this all the time. Huh?
No, that was, I'm trying to find the clip now. So,
He speaks like this all the time about many different things. Most Def / Yasiin Bey is not good in clip form. You know what I mean?
But this went on for here. Listen, here we go. I want to hear it again.
Like, is Drake hip hop?
Why are you doing this to me? I know. Drake is pop to me in the sense, like, if I was in Target in Houston and I heard a Drake song, it feels like a lot of his music is compatible with shopping.
Commercial music.
Or it's you know, music, shopping with an edge in certain instances.
Fair. I like Drake's music, but I understand exactly what you're saying.
Of course. I mean,
it's commercial, entertaining, fun, good, it's formulaic music.
It's likable.
Likable music, yeah.
It's likable.
But is it?
I guess I saw an extended version where it gets much deeper. But, you know, that's clickbait right there.
Yeah, everyone's seeing that one, regardless of what else there is.
But that's what I'm saying. Most Def is not good in clip form. Yeah, it's going to sound like a diss, but like the long, long explanation. This guy, Most Def or Yasiin Bey, no disrespect, he's pure art. Like, it's all art. It's pure art. It's like oozing just soul and purpose and art. And when I speak to him every single time, mind you, does he make money from his art and is he like a well-off guy? Yes. But the conversations I've had with him have been amazing and I've learned so much about music I never even heard of and different music from different countries and regions and how we're just fed, you know, we're programmed and we're fed certain things. Most times, like programmed music. I like it. It's good. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I like a lot of Drake. I guess all of Drake's songs that like I would play in a club. Like, I like them. It's not like I'm playing them. It's not like Sexy Red. Like, I'm not playing it just because it's the hot song right now. I do like Drake songs. You know what I mean? I do not like Sexy Red songs.
I'm just letting you. I want to retort. Like, I have a retort.
Well, by all means. Retort.
Everything you're saying is valid. Much like the way that I spoke last week that led to Rappaport getting ticked off, Most didn't need to say it the way he did. Like, there's a lot of...
Maybe it was supposed to be behind a paywall.
Like, there's a lot... First of all, I think the basic question is, I don't think his answer is accurate. The basic question of, is Drake hip hop? The answer is yes. To me, it is yes. Is it the purest form? Is it the rawest of the raw? No.
No.
But I think we all could agree. We've all liked songs and considered them hip hop before.
There's nothing about Drake or his music that makes me think it's not hip hop.
Like the conversation we had last week about my anger about sampling quote pop and Syph did a really good job describing what like that clear decisive genre of pop is. Right. Like, that is not Drake. That is clearly not Drake.
No.
So in that sense, I agree. Like, listen, was the whole bit funny and how he does the whole thing about shopping, you know, and being like, wow, there's so many things here. Yes, it was all very funny and the way he executed it was comedically beautifully done. But I felt a little bad for Drake because Most is seen as such a like picture of hip hop. Like, he is the embodiment.
And mind you, I paint that picture myself of the man. But I am very, I guess, personally biased to 90s New York underground hip hop. And in my mind, I'm literally here right now on the other side of the room moving my record collection into my new permanent fucking shelves, right?
Good for you, man.
And the section I'm on right now is called the outgoing section. These were all the records that are labeled with a sticker with the BPMs that I would take out to DJ clubs. And I don't DJ anymore, so they're now all in their own section. And I'm moving them. And as I'm moving them, I'm seeing a Ghostface cover, a Raekwon, a Black Moon, J. Ruta Damager. As I'm moving the records, I'm like, it's bringing me joy. Mm-hmm. That's my era. That right next to the turntables is those records.
Mm-hmm.
So whenever I want to just fuck around and fool around in my basement, like I did when I was 17 years old, and play some records, that's my go-to right there. Now, if mm-hmm. I go to my Serato and want to play all the new shit, it's there too. But if I want to play vinyl, it's right there. So that's the part of hip hop that brings me joy. But I'm fully aware that that is not the only version of hip hop, nor should it be labeled. I don't even know how to say it, like the purest form.
Right. It's not that easy.
I know hip hop started, what we call hip hop, started in New York.
Are you talking about this thing called hip hop?
This thing called hip hop started okay. in New York. But that doesn't mean all the records, all the breaks that were used to create and what made hip hop, all those records are not from New York. They're all James Brown, fucking Parliament Funkadelic, soul records, reggae records, jazz records, fucking country records, whatever. So to say somebody formulated all that from New York and that's the purest essence, I get it's where it started, but it's not where it only is. And Drake is doing an excellent job of like, I mean, listen, man, this guy is a fucking case study. Like, I also know too much about Drake's whole formula and camp, so I feel a little weird talking about it sometimes, but like they studied every mistake ever made. They studied every success ever achieved. They studied what works, what doesn't work, why it works, when it works, how it works, and created this thing we call Drake.
Right. It went from this thing we call hip hop. For this thing we call Drake.
But I don't, you know what I mean? It's hip hop. I would not put my Drake records in a pop section of if I'm doing things by genre.
Yeah, like the Drake records that I really love, like they're rap records, they're hip hop records. There's not.
I have a few, I have a good, not few, a lot of records of Drake in my iPhone shuffle. And when they come on, I don't skip them. Now, are they the singy, girly ones? No. The ones where he's rapping with Hov, the fucking, I got enemies, got a lot of enemies.
Energy,
I got fucking, energy, I mean, yeah. Let's go to the Wi-Fi. Like, it's all hip-hop.
Agreed.
So most...
Listen, I'm not, I understand. I do get why people don't dig Drake. I understand it. And... Listen, do I make him my number one ever? No. He may be the most successful. When it's all said and done, he may be the most successful ever. But he's not my number one, and Hov's not my number one, and that's okay. But, like, that doesn't mean that those guys are pop. And in other words, here's what I would say. Most clearly does not have an affinity for Drake. That is totally fine. You have the right to be like, yo, I don't think he raps about anything important. You know what I mean? Because Most certainly likes to rap about things that are important. He could say, Drake raps about fun shit. It's not for me. But I think it's a little cheap when people go to the, it's not hip hop. I just don't think that's fair. It's not your kind of hip hop, which I dig. Because, bro, Sipes, you just said it really well earlier. You know how many things are out right now that are not my kind of hip hop?
Yeah.
But I'm not going to say they're not hip hop. Remember when I called
Starships hip hop? This bad hip hop.
No, and there are moments. Remember when I said Starships wasn't hip hop?
Yeah,
it wasn't. That was what it was. That was pop bullshit. Yeah. But that's not what Drake records are. That's not what Nicki's new records are. That's people have their moment. They make a pop record. It does well. It fails. Whatever. But like, yeah, I just think it wasn't a fair description. No one wants to get laughed at by Mos Def or have Mos clowning you.
How much is Drake a Mos Def fan?
Are you asking a rhetorical?
Yeah, like
You would think he was a pretty big fan, no?
I mean, I think everyone is, right?
I mean, listen, if the guy like idolized Little Brother, yeah, he didn't love Mos Def and Black Star, no chance. Yeah. There's no chance. So yeah, I just picture Drake minding his business the other day. And then it's like, it's one thing to hear Joe Budden disses you.
Yeah.
That's what he does. But like to hear most dissed you is like,
they gotta feel fucking, oh, like Aubrey Graham hearing that, as much shit as he hears from so many different places, to hear that one gotta sting.
Yeah, it's like come on, bro.
Why? Like, oh man.
Listen, I relate. I know what it's like to randomly find out that a legend fucking hates you or thinks you're a douchebag. I'm like, oh, really? Can't win them all.
Oh.
So, I don't think it was a fair description. I'm sure people will fight this out in the Discord, but I think he's the started from the bottoms, the energies, even the whole extra bonus joints that he just put out. The shit, the Alchemist shit he just did, the Conductor Williams shit he just learned. They're rap records. They're like, you may not like what he's saying, but they're fucking rap records. I really enjoy them.
Mos Def doesn't say something important every time.
Every time.
He raps. Right, he just raps. He raps very well.
Let's be honest. Mos also loves to sing. Loves to sing. One of his biggest records, he does not rap on at all.
I don't think singing is the issue.
All right. I'm just making sure. So yeah, the pop part is just the... Is just the it's commercial because he's talking about shit.
Drake is very successful. You know what I mean? Like, with that amount of success, there's going to be a lot of fucking rigmarole to it. But
you said rigmarole, huh?
Yeah. Is that anti-Semitic?
I think so. By the way, could you believe that? I can't believe the other day Sife comes into our fucking group chat. And had the fucking, speaking of anti-Semitic, had the audacity to send us a fucking new Kanye song.
I saw this Kanye. What, I think it said leaked. Did it say leaked Kanye?
Yeah, but by the way, it's not, I think it's a French song. And then the worst part of it was fucking fire.
The worst part of it. This shit right here.
Take a fucking another photo, man. Right, don't take bro, another fucking here. Photo, man.
I just got here, homie.
Don't take no photos.
You okay. Got it.
Kanye doesn't rap on it though. I think it's just a gun verse, a Montana verse, and then Ye going, "Where they at? Where are they at?"
There's one little. I think he has like a bar or something. Yeah.
So I don't know what it's from. That's just hard.
Sounds fine.
Listen, guys, I'm not gonna ever sit here and lie to you. Okay. So that's not for me. Hey, you. Let's go talk more about more stuff.
But what kind of wall are we gonna talk behind?
Well, a paywall.
Okay.
But
okay.
If you stand on your business, you can see over the wall.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So join us on Patreon, patreon.com/JuanEppIsLife. We are trying to book some in-person guest episodes again as well. But you know what? I'm having fun doing these, so shut the fuck up. All right.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.